You look awesome. The people of God, people that love Jesus, people that are looking for the coming of the Lord. Amen. It's good to be in our Wisconsin home. Someone asked me, where is home? Well, home is heaven. I'm on a pilgrim journey. My treasures are laid up there. We have a lot of stuff down here. Stuff is not treasures. My treasures are laid up in heaven. I did not need a U-Haul to get there. I need the Holy Ghost. Amen. That's what I need to get there. And I'm looking forward to heaven. And I'm looking forward to seeing Jesus. I'm really looking forward to being together with all of you. No more parting. No goodbyes. No tears. It's going to be wonderful. And the Lord has brought us back together yet again, another time. And this is church number 50 this year. We have about 6 more to go. And so we are running just like we always have, as long as the Lord gives us strength. Don't forget about us. Don't forget to pray for us. We pray for you. We ask about you, and we love you. And the Lord is so good. This is Holy Ghost Sunday, but every Sunday is Holy Ghost Sunday. But we've made this a focus today. So if you are here today and you have not yet received the gift, it's a present, it's a gift of the Holy Ghost, today is your day. It's going to be very easy for you to receive the Holy Ghost today. Amen. And I have a little message for you. If you'll turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and while you're turning there, I want to thank Pastor Roy and Sister Lois Grant for being my friend through the years. I love this family. He's my little brother. We tease each other like brothers and sisters do. And one time I had done my hair like this with my bun on top of my head instead of over here on the side. You know, I'm trying not to go bald in one area or the other. So I had moved it. And he reached up and grabbed my little bun up there and said, "What is that?" He probably doesn't even remember it. See, people don't do that unless they're your little brother. We're fond of each other, and the family of God is just the best. Amen. The best. And we have a lot of fun together. This is our Wisconsin home. It always will be. And we love to come home. And then there was a young man in this church. His name is Justin Wall. And he came to Columbus, Ohio, and stole the heart of my eldest daughter, Sarah Jo. She's named after me. My middle name is Jo. And Sarah and Justin made their home here. And so he took her away from me. But I'd already been coming here. See how God works? Year after year after year, I'd already been coming here. So isn't it something that every year I had already been coming at the end of October, like I am right now, then their children are born. My beautiful twin granddaughters that just turned 13 were born the same weekend that I'm always here. So I've never missed their birthday. We had their birthday this week. And then along came Judah. Judah needs the Holy Ghost. He's going to come today so that Meemaw can be with him when he gets the Holy Ghost. Amen. So my heart, a lot of my heart is invested right here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I'm reading verses 13 through 18. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. Now that does not mean people taking a nap. This is talking about people who have gone on before us, people who have died, okay? The scripture says, I would not have you to be ignorant, brother, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and we do, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. This should be comforting to hear about the coming of the Lord. This is a comforting message today. I'm getting ready to bring you comfort. If it does not bring you comfort, and you start feeling fear, and you start getting anxiety, your legs start shaking, you start biting your fingernails, it's not bringing you comfort then, is it? What that will mean to you personally is you must not be quite ready or not sure that you're ready. The good thing is you got time right now, today. Jesus hasn't come yet, but he could come before midnight tonight. What if this were the last service before Jesus comes? How would you respond? Today, for your hearing, a message that the Lord gave me entitled, Pack My Bags. Pack My Bags. You may be seated. I'm so thankful today for my precious husband, Ben Vernon, man of the word. So good to me. Such a wonderful man. Pack My Bags. So for 35 years, I've traveled all over the United States. I've ministered and been in every state in the United States. I've been in 9 foreign countries, most of them more than once. 50 churches already this year. There's a lot of packing that goes on. This is just one of my bags. And so packing is not something I enjoy, but I can be ready to go anywhere in the world in 15 minutes. I have it down to a science. I know all the shortcuts. I know how to fold things to get the most in. And I've learned that when I pack, I need to be very sensitive to the Spirit. Because sometimes I will pack routinely and something will say to me, a little small voice will say, you need to pack such and such. If I disregard that little voice and think, no, I won't need that. Every time I will be buying something because I needed it. Very seldom do I forget anything, once in a while because I'm human. But packing is not something that you ever really love or enjoy unless it's just a leisure trip once in a while. Most years I flew somewhere between 38 and 40 round trips every year. I got very tired of going to the airport. When I would go to the airport, I would have my bag marked. This one has a piece of tape on it. Most times it was a ribbon. Because there are bags that look alike. And when I checked my bag in, they would take my bag and they would give me a little ticket, a little tiny square sticker. Sometimes they put it on the boarding pass. Sometimes they just handed it to you. And that was your bag check. It has your name and a number on it. So they take your bag away and they check it in under that airplane that you're riding on. Now, when you get to where you're going, the other end of your journey, you go and there's a big conveyor belt, usually oval shaped, that goes around and around and it moves like at the grocery store, a great big one. It comes out of the wall. And when it starts coming around, what you checked in comes back to you. Now, once in a while, it doesn't. But most of the time, you don't get to say, well, I checked the little black one in with the tape on it, but I really like that big red one. I'm going to take it with me. You don't get to pick. Whatever you have put in there is what comes back to you in the end. So all of us today need to think about the way that we're loading and packing our earthly bag, because we have a final destination, friends of mine, whether you believe it or not. Jesus is coming, and we're either going to go up with him for heaven all eternity, or we're going down with the devil. In 35 years of ministry, I probably have only preached on the coming of the Lord a handful of times. But for some reason, I find myself in this last hour of time before Jesus comes. I believe I'm looking at the generation that's getting ready to go up in the rapture. You and I perhaps will never see the grave. That's how close the coming of the Lord is. And something is happening within me that I'm realizing I need to get in the pulpit and warn people that you better make sure all the right things are in your bag. And if you don't have them in there, you better get them in today, because there's not much time to pack. Pack your bags. There's an urgency in the hour. When I take that suitcase, now there is a little different security system now. They look in there. They see everything you got in there. Didn't used to be that way. There was a little bit more trust involved before 9/11. And when I would go, they would look me in the eyes and they would say, has anyone asked you to carry anything on board with you? And if you said, well, there was a man over there in a black hoodie that gave me a box with some wires and asked me if I'd just stick it in there for him till we got to St. Louis, you would not be flying. You don't even joke about those kind of things, because no one should be putting anything in your bag that doesn't belong there. And if you're carrying stuff that somebody else loaded on you in childhood, you're carrying brokenness and batteredness, and you're carrying regrets, and you're carrying fear, and you're carrying unforgiveness, this is the day to get your bag unpacked at the altar and leave that heavy stuff here, because the Bible says his load is easy, his burden is light. He never meant for us to carry a heavy load. He can take that stuff from you if you'll give it to him. But a lot of people just like to drag it around so they can talk about it. Oh, you won't believe what's in my bag. That's why I act the way I do, because I got all this stuff that happened to me. Hey, stuff's happened to everybody. Everybody has a dysfunctional family. We all just want everybody to think we don't. Everybody does. You know where it started? In the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve had two kids and one killed the other. That's where dysfunction, you don't get more dysfunctional than that. We need Jesus for our dysfunction. Unpack your dysfunction at the altar. Then they ask you a second question. They used to. They look in your eyes and they say, has this bag been in your possession since you packed it?
No, I left it over there with that strange person while I went and got some coffee a while ago.
Then you're going to be searched. They're going to go through everything because you left it unattended. I'm talking to somebody today. You've got to beware of what goes in your bag. Don't let false doctrine in your bag. Don't listen to every preacher on the radio and the TV and just say, well, everybody's just so going to heaven. Everybody that's just so good is going to heaven. It just really doesn't matter how you're saved. That's a lie. Get that out of your bag. There's only one way to be saved. There's only one God, and Jesus is his name. He made it very clear what we need in our bag. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm getting ready to tell you a story that I've never told in the pulpit until now.
I was shocked when the Lord brought something new to me. All these years that I've ministered, and I never used this story. I believe it was for the end times, and we're in the end times. My dad married my mother, and for some reason, I guess my mother didn't ask enough questions, young people. They did not date long enough, or something, because my mom found out after they were married that my dad did not love this truth like she did. My dad was an elder or leader in a church called the Christ and Christian Union Church. My dad baptized people. My mom knew he was a good man. But when my dad began to say to my mom, now, I don't believe in that speaking in tongues. And I'm as good as you and your mom and your grandma. And I don't want to hear about that. My mom realized that my dad had something in his bag that was going to have to be unpacked. My mom never talked bad about my dad to us children. She would say, just pray for daddy. When dad went to church with us, oftentimes in the car on the way home, he would yell, and he sounded like a preacher. He would just yell and say, I'm as good as that preacher, and I'm as good as the rest of those people, and I don't have to talk in tongues, and I don't believe that you should baptize in the name of Jesus. He believed baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Some of you have heard of that. He had that in his bag because it's all he knew. And pride sometimes will cause us to say, well, my grandmother had that in her bag, and my grandpa had it in his bag. And if I say that it's not right, then I'm saying something about my grandma and grandpa that I don't want to admit, I don't want to say. Let me help you understand that we serve a just and loving, good God. And people that do not know truth, the Lord is going to take care of all of that. And that's where you leave that. But once you have heard this precious truth and your spirit bears witness, and there is going to be today a drawing, the Holy Ghost is going to start moving on you, and you're going to feel like, I need to do something. And when you feel that, that's not the preacher, that's not the word, that's not the delivery. That is the Holy Ghost. That's Jesus saying, come on, today's your day. Let's unpack some stuff and let's get you ready because I'm coming to get you. And so you don't remember all those pride things that we keep in our bag. Well, I've been, you know, a good person. Good does not get you into heaven. You must be saved. And the Bible made it so clear that even the very youngest child can be saved today. They can understand it. I'm so glad you didn't have to be a scholar because I'm not one. I'm so glad that you could be common folk, that you could just hear a presentation and it would be simple and you can come and receive this gospel. It's for everybody. And so my dad and mom had a rocky life, a rough home, because there was division and pulling about the gospel. My mom prayed for my dad for 18 years. Now, we had a lot of fun family times. I need to tell you about my slide up here, my title. It's very important that you hear this part because you see the man up there with the knapsack, they call that, over his shoulder. My dad was raised in southern Ohio. He was a southern Ohio hillbilly, right across the river from Kentucky. My mom was a city girl, and so they made quite a team. My dad would say, you can take the boy out of the country, but you can't take the country out of the boy, Louise. And some of you are saying amen. She tried very hard. She really did. And we lived in a little house on Huxley Drive. I only lived in one house my whole growing up years. One house.
little three-bedroom ranch house on Huxley Drive. And there were three of us girls. We were all three, 6 years apart. And with mom and dad there in that little house. There was a train track not too far from there. And every once in a while, the train would go by, and it always blew its whistle. Very unique sound. It was close enough that sometimes you could feel the rattle of the windows, and some of you have experienced that. You get to where, after a while, you don't even notice it all the time because it's so familiar. But I would say, Daddy, tell me that story again. He says, that story makes you cry. I said, but tell me anyway. Tell me that story. My dad would pull me up on his knee, and he would say, when I was a little boy, my mom and dad passed away. And there were 13 of us kids, and they farmed us out to different relatives. And my uncle put me and my brother, Wendell, on a buckboard wagon and took us to an auntie and uncle's house. And when we rode up on that wagon, my aunt came out wiping her hands on her apron and came out of probably like an old log cabin type home and ran out there to the wagon, and she said, oh, I wanted girls. I thought you were bringing the girls. Take them back. That was the part that made me cry. And he'd say, and it broke my heart because they didn't want me. And when they took me back, I packed my little belongings in a knapsack on the back bottom of a big stick and carried it over my shoulder. And he said, I would walk and walk along the train track. And when I heard the whistle blow, I would run. And as the train slowed down, I would jump up on a train car and hide and ride to the next town. In that town, I would steal cabbages out of the farmer's garden and tomatoes. I'd suck eggs out of the hen house to stay alive. And then when the whistle blew, I'd jump on the train and head for the next town. He said, I was what you call a hobo. All I could relate to was Tom Sawyer and Huckleberry Finn. That's how I imagined my dad with that knapsack on his back. But all of my growing up years, that train whistle would blow. I mean, from my earliest remembrance. And my dad would look at my mom and he'd say, Louise, pack my bags. And she'd say, you're not going anywhere. And sometimes a little girl would echo, Daddy, you're not going anywhere. You're staying here with us. And we'd all laugh. It was a family joke. Families have those little jokes. My dad kept his bags with a lot of things in there because he knew he needed more. He got miserable. If there's somebody today that you're miserable, it's because you need to get some stuff out of your bag and get some stuff put in your bag. My dad had a lot of anger in his bag. He knew he needed to get rid of that. My dad said bad words. He knew he needed to get rid of that. My dad needed the revelation of one God. Jesus is his name. My dad needed to be baptized in the name of Jesus. My dad needed the gift of the Holy Ghost in his bag. My dad would keep a bottle of alcohol of some kind out in the garage, and I would see mom bring him an iced tea, and he would drain that iced tea while he was working on the car or in the yard, and then he'd pour that bottle over the ice. He had something he needed to get out of his bag. My dad was miserable. But one thing dad did, all of my childhood, I watched my dad read the Bible. He would sit in the big recliner in the living room when he was finished doing his work, and He'd read that Bible. It was all marked up, and he would just study and read and read. Listen, friend of mine, if you don't want to believe the voice of somebody else, then get the Word of God. I'm talking the Bible, the B-I-B-L-E. Get it open at home and start studying and reading and say, Lord, I want to know what truth is. Show me truth. I'm telling you, he'll show you. I had come in out from outside playing and needed a drink of water. I'd run in the kitchen and Mom took the cold jug out of the refrigerator and she poured me a little orange juice glass full of water. And I was chugging that down. I know it was a God moment. The Lord had me walk in just at the right moment. Because as I'm drinking down that water, trying to get back out to ride my bike, I hear my dad, the recliner went down, boom, and I heard him say, Louise! Louise! He always yelled like the house was on fire. And I just froze, and he came running in the kitchen. My mom met him at the kitchen door. He had his Bible open in his hand. He said, Louise! Louise, I see it! I'll never forget it. The tears were rolling down his cheeks. He said, I see it. You know where it says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost? She said, yes. He said, it doesn't say names. He said, there's no S on the end of that. It says baptizing in the name. That means there's only one name. You're right. His name is Jesus. I watched my daddy get the revelation of the oneness right there in the kitchen. Oh, hallelujah. You need that in your bag today. There's only one God, and Jesus is his name. And we got to have that assurance in our heart today. That's what's going to get us to heaven, is being covered by the blood and filled with the Spirit. How wonderful that a little girl got to see that. And I told you, my dad was not educated. He quit school in the third grade. But the Holy Ghost revealed in Scripture, there's no S on the end of name. There's only one. Hallelujah. My daddy put that in his bag that day. Something began to change because he realized, oh, you know what? I need to be baptized in that name. I've never gone down in the water in that name. I remember the day that my daddy brought his heart to Jesus and he went to the altar. I remember the day he made up his mind. I must stop fighting this. You see, the Bible says repent. You know, in the book of Acts, when Peter told them how to be saved, something happened right before that. Now, we like to tell, and I like to tell, about how the Holy Ghost was poured out in Acts chapter 2. The Lord had died and resurrected, gone away to prepare a place for us. And he said, you go to that upper room and tarry, and I am going to pour out something. I'm going to give you something. It's called a comforter. They didn't know what they were waiting for. And the Holy Ghost filled that room where they were sitting. The Bible says they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. We like to tell how they left that room. And the Bible says they were still talking in tongues. And when they went out, here they're having all the feasts going on. So the place is crowded. It's like a mall. It's like a market. The place is packed. God ordained it that way. So that when they walked out of there talking in tongues, they were laughing. They were full of joy. And people said, those people were coming out of that room drunk. And they said, we're not drunk like you suppose. Oh, no, we're not drunk. It's only the third hour of the day. And so Peter preached a sermon. And we leave out a whole lot of that sermon when we're talking about this. Because that sermon, he reminded them. He took them all the way back to the Old Testament, to David. He reminded them, you did not accept Jesus as the Messiah. You crucified him. You put him on a cross. when he began to unveil what happened and what led up to that, the Bible says they were pricked in their hearts. We forget to tell people about that part. That's why he said, now you realize you crucified him, repent. Now you realize that you've never allowed him in your life, repent. Now you realize that you're a sinner, repent. That's why we have to repent. I remember the day I repented. I was only 9 years old, sitting on the end of the front row, with tears rolling down my cheeks. I'm so sorry for the bad things I've done, Jesus. Please forgive me. It doesn't take hours and crying. It just takes a sincere heart. And in that moment, you allow that perfect gentleman to go into your heart. He will not go in until you invite him. Very few of you sitting here have never seen this. 35 years, 26 years, you've seen it here. But I never get tired of it because I feel the anointing every time. Because the moment you say, Jesus, I'm sorry, he's not like other people. He doesn't look in there and say, why did you do all that? Oh, no. In that moment that you're pricked in your heart and you repent and you say, Jesus, I'm sorry, with one sweep of his hand, he cleans out your heart. He leaves a clean, empty spot that he can move into. Hallelujah. It's really that simple. But I made a mess up here. Because sin makes a mess of people's lives. And on the day that my daddy said, take me to the water, I want to be baptized the only way anybody was ever baptized in the Bible, in the name of Jesus. And they took him down under the water, and he came back up a new creature in Christ Jesus. And all of that disappeared. You see, on that day, Dad unpacked some anger. Daddy got the alcohol out of the bag. The bad words stopped. Because he entered a covenant with the Lord. He took on his name. You must be born of water and of spirit. If you haven't been baptized in Jesus' name today, please understand you don't have much time. Quit putting it off. Jesus is coming. If you're afraid, that is the enemy trying to make you afraid. If you don't want people looking at you, we don't have to let anybody look. But get it done. Nobody ever drowned being baptized. Down under the water and back up in Jesus' name. But my dad did not believe in the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Oh no, he was not going there. Because he would have to admit that he was wrong. He didn't have that in his bag. That's what's going to take us up when Jesus comes. And we were so thankful Daddy was baptized in Jesus' name. And then my dad decided one day on a Sunday morning sitting in the recliner, I guess I will go to church after all. Mom had brought us girls to church. I was in my Sunday school class. I had received the Holy Ghost 3 months earlier. You know my story. I'd been praying and praying for my dad. My dad didn't like it that I'd received the Holy Ghost because there's just one more in the house, see? I was praying for my daddy to be saved. I was sitting in my Sunday school class when they came and got me. The teacher said, you, come here. She had brought the attendance back in and took it out to the superintendent and come back in. And church was almost over. We could hear them singing. We could hear the music in the sanctuary. And we knew it was almost over. And so when she came back in, she pointed at me and she said, you, come here. Well, I'd learned the best thing to do when somebody does that. You do this. It didn't work. She said, come with me. Now, I couldn't figure out why she was taking me out of class, and most of the time it's because I was in trouble. Most of the time I knew why, but on this day I didn't know why. And I was following her and I was asking her, what did I do? Where are you taking me? Why are you taking me to my mom? Are we going to the sanctuary? Are you taking me to the pastor? Where are we going? She wasn't answering, and I'm following her up the long aisle, the walk of death. And they're singing and they're worshiping and the music's going like we're going to do in just a couple minutes here. And that was happening. And I thought, she's taking me to my mom. And my mom brought me in this world. She can take me out. And then she turned around and smiled. She said, your mom wants you. Your mom is right over there by the plant. Down there, see her flowered skirt? Go up there where your mom is. So I just made my way through the crowd. You know, when you're a little kid, you're trying to make it through a crowd of people. You say, excuse me, excuse me, excuse me, and all you see is knees. Excuse me. And I finally got over to my mom. When I got over to my mom, I grabbed her skirt. I said, Mom, you wanted me? Mom, they came and got me out of class. You wanted me? And when my mom turned to look at me, she had the most beautiful smile on her face. But I was so conflicted as a kid because she was smiling so big, but the tears were rolling. And I thought, people don't smile and cry like that at the same time. And I'm looking at her and she said, I just wanted you to see this. She pushed me up into the crowd of people that were praying. And when I got up in that crowd of people, I looked around. There was a whole lot of people around someone praying. And when I looked, here was my daddy. That shiny black hair. Those big calloused hands. Lifted to the heavens. Speaking with other tongues. Hallelujah. My daddy put the Holy Ghost in his bag that day. He got out all the other stuff that will keep you out of heaven. And my dad finished packing his bag just in time. Would you come and just play the keyboard and give him hope? Because daddy was diagnosed with leukemia. It's back in the day when they did not have what they have now. The type of leukemia daddy had is curable now. It wasn't then. I was 25 years old. And I watched the progression of that horrible disease. Dad was on chemotherapy. His hospital stays. Mom and I spent long, long nights. My Sarah was a little girl and I was carrying my daughter Rachel. And daddy was dying. Way too young for me to lose my dad. He was in the hospital one night, and most nights one of us would stay, but mom had to do something and I had to be at home with my children. And so he was alone. And in the night, the blood counts were so severe that they decided to give him blood. And when they gave him blood, a blood transfusion that night, it threw him into a massive heart attack. They called and we rushed to the hospital. He was in ICU. We didn't know if he would come out of that or not. It was 2 or 3 days. Finally, he was back in a room. But he wasn't talking. He was curled up facing the wall. Daddy, are you okay? Yeah. Daddy, do you need anything? No. Wasn't talking. It was alarming to me. Mom was out of the room and I was sitting close by the bed. He was facing me and I said, Daddy, why aren't you talking? Something wrong? The tears began to trickle out of his eyes. He said, I was taking that blood transfusion. They were monitoring me. And all of a sudden, I felt crushing weight on my chest. I felt my left arm go numb. I couldn't get my breath. They called the crash cart in. I was having a massive fatal heart attack. The crash cart came in and they put the paddles on my chest and I could hear them all around the bed, 2 cc's of this, and they were putting things in my port and they were talking to me, hold on, Mr. Smith, hold on. And he said, all of a sudden, my spirit came up out of my body and floated up through the ceiling. I could look down and see them working on me. He said, and I stood before the most beautiful gates. He said, I can't even describe them. Gate is not even a good word. They were as far as you could see, wide and as high as you could see. And he said, I stood in front of the gates and I looked down and the floor was iridescent gold. And he said, the music was loud, but it wasn't even music. It was something we don't even have here. The light was so bright, but yet it wasn't blinding. It was warm. And he began to talk and describe. He said, and then the gates slowly begin to open. He said, I took one step and I heard, we've got a pulse. Whew. He said, and I woke up with those people all around the bed. And I thought, oh no, I had almost made it. I was almost there. I'm not talking because my heart is there. The oncologist called me out in the hall. He said, your dad has given up. If you could just kind of talk him up a little bit. He's regained some strength and he's doing a little better. I said, Dr. Siegel, you don't understand. My dad needs to tell you his story. He's already been at the door, at the gate of heaven. I'm talking to somebody today. Jesus is coming. And you don't know what tomorrow may bring. And this message is supposed to comfort. We all have loved ones who have gone on. It's not going to be very long. We're going to see them. But you don't want to miss heaven. If this isn't in your bag today, you need to get it packed. Dad did not want to be here. His heart was somewhere else. And the months passed by. They sent him home in a hospital bed in the living room. We had to walk through what so many here have walked through, watching the body waste away. Praying for just another day. And then we were sitting by the bed one night. Hospice had come in and they said, death is imminent. It won't be very long. Mom was sitting beside me and he was facing us and just quiet, not talking, just meeting the needs. The room was silent and pretty dark. I would play my guitar and sing songs about heaven. And in between a couple of those beautiful hymns that my dad loved, over on Livingston Avenue, Pastor Roy, the train whistle blew. I know how you love trains. And when that train whistle blew, my daddy looked up at my mom and said, Louise, pack my bags. And it was the only time in my life that I remember mama not saying, oh, you're not going anywhere. Mom and I fell over the bed, speaking in tongues. Daddy spoke in tongues. We had the most beautiful kind of family meeting right there. And it wasn't very long until he took his last breath. And he got to see what heaven really was. There'll be that moment in time for all of us. So may I ask you today, may I tell you today that the Lord gave me this message for you? Whatever you do, pack your bags. Pack
pack your bags today. Men, women, elderly, children, teenagers, pack your bags. Don't mess this trip up. There won't be a second chance to pack. There won't be going to the store and buying it last minute. Would you stand? I'm asking you, if you have never received the gift of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, I want you to get ready to come to the front. It's going to be so easy today. There's no reason for anybody to say, I don't have time, or I'm scared, or I want to wait. You might not have time to wait. And Jesus is going to take away this old stony heart. Once you repent of your sins, He's just going to immediately take that old stony heart away and give you a brand new heart. This one you're going to put in your bag. And we're going to line up here and pray and repent as the music will play. And then we will speak a word of faith in this microphone. Receive the Holy Ghost. And you will feel it. He will begin to fill you and fill you with His Spirit. You will know. There won't be any question. And He will fill you all the way up. He doesn't stop pouring at the top of your heart. He keeps filling and filling until it gets right here. That's when those strange words come to your mind. And if you're a logical person, it is not going to make sense to your logical mind that you're going to say these strange sounds. But listen, you can't do it wrong. You don't have to sound like anybody else. These will be your special words that Jesus gives you. And you just speak them right out of your mouth. It may be one or two syllables. You say, well, I'm not a crier. I'm not emotional. Lots of people receive the Holy Ghost without weeping or crying. But if you do cry, even big, strong men cry when they pray. Don't be ashamed of your tears. He will fill you according to your personality. And then this service is twofold. There are some of us that need to get some stuff out of our bag. It's been in there too long. You're trying to put this in there with those things and it won't work. There will always be a fight. Get some stuff unpacked today. If you haven't been baptized in the name of Jesus, the water's ready. They'll take you and you will wear something to keep your clothing dry. You will put on a robe that will cover you. They will put you under in Jesus' name. And all of that will disappear. Now, this is a big building. Don't make me come get you. Those of you that want the Holy Ghost today, would you just stand right up here in the front? Will you come quickly? Now, there are going to be children come because children just want it. They don't wait. They're not scared to say, hey, I want that. I want a gift. Adults, would you just become as a child?